The news you trust and the music you love on WSHU are here because of listeners like you. Recent cuts to federal funding make listener support especially important as we head into 2026. Your year-end donation helps ensure we can continue serving the community with trusted news and inspiring music. Give at WSHU.org or call 800-777-9748. Thank you.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. The minimum wage in both Connecticut and New York will get a bump on January 1st. New York is changing how child abuse reports are made. Plus, what if possibility didn't stop at prison walls? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut's minimum wage increases from $16.35 to $16.94 on January 1st. WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The increase reflects an adjustment required by a 2019 Connecticut law that connects the state's minimum wage increases to the U.S. Department of Labor's Employment Cost Index. State Labor Commissioner Dante Bartolomeo says connecting the state's minimum wage to the index helps protect the most vulnerable earners from inflation and helps keep wage gaps from widening. Connecticut's $16.94 minimum wage is the second highest statewide after Washington, which is $17.13 an hour. The federal minimum wage has remained at $7.25 an hour for the past 16 years. Ebong Udama, WSH News.
And the new year will bring a higher state minimum wage for New Yorkers as well, $17 an hour for Long Island, Westchester County, and New York City. The 50-cent pay raise is part of a multi-year set of scheduled increases. In 2027, increases will be tied to inflation. And New York Governor Kathy Hochul has signed a bill to ban anonymous calls to the state's child abuse hotline. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
Callers will have to provide their name and contact information when they report child abuse or neglect to the state's hotline. That information will stay confidential, but not anonymous. Supporters say the ban on anonymous calls will prevent fake claims of abuse in contentious child custody cases and divorces. A ProPublica investigation found 96% of anonymous child abuse reports are deemed unfounded, tying up caseworkers who are required by law to investigate all calls. New York is the third state to ban anonymous callers, behind Texas and California. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Birds migrating through New England in the spring might be adapting to warmer temperatures brought on by climate change. That's according to researchers who compared 19th century observations made by Henry David Thoreau in Massachusetts to data from the app eBird. The New England News Collaborative's Vivian Law reports on what the work means for bird conservation.
The study found that birds land in Concord to nest and feed about a week earlier than compared to 150 years ago. Researchers say while it's good news that birds can adapt, they might not be keeping up with how quickly their food sources are also shifting. This potential mismatch concerns Boston University biology professor and study co-author Richard Primack.
It's just causing a lot of uncertainty in the system. I mean, it's possible that they are suddenly better matched, that the birds are arriving at a time when there's actually more insects, but it's possible that the birds will be arriving too late for the really big peak of insects, which they need to feed their nestlings in the spring.
He says the study could help conservationists better protect habitats for migrating birds. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Vivian Law.
What if prison wasn't the end of the story, but the start of a new one? One program is challenging assumptions and opening doors where few expect them. That's the latest from WSHU's Good at Heart, and that is coming up.
Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
New York officials encourage folks to start 2026 off on the right foot, literally, with a hike. More than 115 state parks, historic sites, and more will welcome visitors with guided tours on January 1st. It goes hand in hand with the governor's Get Offline, Get Outside campaign with the goal of reconnecting families and promoting health and wellness, especially in the colder months. After more than a decade of erosion concerns dating back to Superstorm Sandy, Bayview Avenue in Manhasset is finally being stabilized. The route connects drivers from the two peninsulas that border Manhasset Bay. Funding comes from both the town of North Hempstead and FEMA. This is one of several Superstorm Sandy-related projects going on in the town, according to Newsday, and that includes a $19 million revamp of the Port Washington town dock. The police department for the town of East Hampton will become the primary answering point for emergency calls townwide beginning January 1st. For decades, the various villages inside the town handled their own emergency calls, dispatching local fire, police, and EMS services, and transferring emergency calls to the town's jurisdiction over to town police. Now those responsibilities become reversed, with town police handling dispatch for all calls. The change is due to a disagreement between the villages and the town over compensation for call forwarding. The Yale Prison Education Initiative wants to change what we might imagine is possible for people who happen to be incarcerated. WSHU's Good at Heart host, Randy Kay, sat down with Zelda Rowland, the founding director of the initiative, and Alpha Jallo, a graduate of the program, to find out more.
I heard that you like to talk, so...
among other things, absolutely. I love to talk. So my experience with...
Kyle attended a college program with the Yale Prison Education Initiative while he was serving a 15-year sentence. Once the program was over, there was an abundance of books that were left behind. Kyle and a group of his friends decided to donate them.
I was in a cell with one of my friends. His name is Ricky. And his mother actually lives right across the street. And I was telling him what I wanted to do with the extra books. He said that he actually knows there's a bookstore right across the street. His mother reached out to Lauren. Me and Lauren connected. We donated a couple boxes of books. We were sending them from, with our own, you know, money from off our commissary or whatever. And then we were just having conversations about what we could do more. And so it led into doing a soap drive where we went around the prison and we're asking people to donate a soap. And then we ran, Lauren, organized the entire soap drive for us. Me and a bunch of people, we sent out a bunch of soaps over here, and then people at the store packed them together with other things that were donated, and they handed them out to the unhoused. It was about 100 packages, so it was a beautiful event.
After my conversation with Kyle, I wanted to learn more about the Yale program. So Zelda and Alpha came by our studios to tell me more about it.
My name is Zelda Rowland. I am the founding director of the Yale Prison Education Initiative at Dwight Hall, and I also serve as the founding director of the University of New Haven Prison Education Program.
My name is Alpha Jallo. And I am a junior at Yale University and an alumni of Yale Prison Education Initiative.
My first question is just to ask you about the Yale Prison Education Initiative at Dwight Hall. Zelda, maybe you can tell me a little bit about what they do. And then Alpha, I'd love if you'd share your perspective.
We're actually coming up on our 10-year anniversary. We began by offering just a smattering of liberal arts college classes, English, sociology, philosophy, some visual arts classes through an amazing partnership we have with the Yale School of Art. And we grew from there. We've been admitting new cohorts every year of 12 to 15 students. We can only admit 12 to 15 students because we are constrained by two things, really. One is classroom space inside the facilities, and the other is funding. We raise most of the funding for this program through individual donations and private grants. In 2021, we established an amazing partnership with University of New Haven, which was launched with an incredible and substantial $1.5 million grant from the Mellon Foundation. At that point, University of New Haven and YPEI and Yale began collaborating on what is now a year-round degree-granting program. We offer two-year AA degrees and four-year BA degrees
Wow.
in three different prisons in Connecticut. So one is still that first facility, McDougal, where we started. We are also offering programming and degrees at the federal prison in Danbury, Connecticut. Danbury, you may know, has two women's prisons and a men's prison. We are currently offering college, and we do hope to expand our program.
But I'm going to turn to you, Alpha. Tell us your story with the Yale Prison Education Initiative.
Yeah, so I'm actually a graduate of YPI.
Yale. Congratulations.
Thank you. And UNH. I'm from the South Bronx. I'm from one of the largest housing projects in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2017, I got sentenced to 8 years. During that time, I was constantly in trouble. I would like to say sometimes it was good trouble, like Congressman John Lewis would say, right? I was fighting for the rights of incarcerated people in prison, and sometimes that would get me in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I was constantly in segregation. One day, my father had passed away. Another incarcerated person who was a tier worker, he came to my cell just to express his condolences, and he passed me a book. The book was Soledad, Brother by George Jackson. And George Jackson was a Black revolutionary, and he was incarcerated also. I was just like so amazed at the way that he expressed himself in that book. And I was just like, yo, like I want to express myself in this way. And I know I can. And I decided like, hey, I'm going to change my life. And I'm going to try to be a leader. I was already kind of a leader, but
right.
Lead positively, right?
Can I ask you a question before you go on? Because I'm a huge believer of the value of human connection. The fact that this was a book that was brought to you by somebody instead of a book that you just picked up, do you think it had more value because somebody that you felt connected to suggested it to you?
Absolutely. It wasn't just the passing of an object, right? Like when somebody hands you a pencil or a pen, the person was saying to me like, hey, you're going through grief right now, but I see you. And I value you and I see your potential. And that's what the person was expressing to me. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you can be a completely different person. And actually, that person had a life sentence.
Wow.
Person had a life sentence. And he was trying to do a good deed by passing me that book. Everything that I accomplish now and everything that I'm doing now is because of him.
I ask you each if there is a particular quote or philosophy that you live by. Or something someone said to you that rings in your head all the time that helps you go forward?
In the middle of my YPI journey, there was a 60-year-old incarcerated person who could not read. One time, you know, I had books in my hand and someone was holding the door for me and the books fell. And the guy, his name's Eric, he walked up and he was just like, hey, let me help you with the books. And I was like, appreciate you. I call him E. I was like, appreciate you, E. And he's like, listen, man. He's like, young cat. He's like, young cat, I see you with all these books you always reading. I'm proud of you, man. You know, I can't read, but you reading for me. His quote that you reading for me stays with me. I just got accepted to Yale formally. Every step that I've taken since being home, I've gotten fellowships at Columbia University, fellowships at Bard. I've worked as a career specialist. I always remember his words that you're reading for me. Like things that I'm doing are not just for myself. I'm doing it for others.
Zelda, any particular quote or philosophy?
When I first started working on this program, and so many people said to me, there's no way that Yale is going to offer its own credits in a prison. And just remembering the feeling of rage or just the fire lit under me and thinking about how important it was and this obligation to extend access to this wealth of intellectual resources and just how when someone says something like that, it just triggers actually possibility.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio at WSHU.org or with the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. No show tomorrow or New Year's Day, but I'll be back with you on Friday, January 2nd. From all of us here at WSHU, wishing you a very happy new year. We are extra grateful for your support this year. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening, and I'll speak to you in 2026. Thank you.